It is so important for us to understand when we begin to talk about the lover, we express about what love was all about somewhat on last week. We talked about it. And we looked at that love is good, but it's so much better when you are in love. Can I get a witness? Amen. That when you are in love does some things for you when you're in love. There's two things that I want to look at when we talk about the lover. I want to talk about your private lover versus the public lover. Same person, and I'm talking about God. Help me, somebody. Amen. I have to say that because I want us to stay on the word. And then sometimes you can say things and it throw folks' mind off. And then once it throw folks' mind off, it gives an opportunity for the devil to come in. And so we give no place, no room for the devil this morning. We want to be very specific in our words that the lover is God. Help me, somebody. But there is a private love affair that you have with him. And then there is a public love affair that you have with God. In your private love affair, in the house, privately, there's nobody there. You don't give room for the phone to interfere. You don't give room for the television to interfere. It means you cut it off. You do not answer. You do not text. You just spend time with the lover. And the lover comforts you. The lover keeps you. The lover, you feel intimate with the lover when you spend time with him. When the lover is there, the time that you're spending with the lover, you're getting to know more about him. The feeling, it makes you mushy. It makes you emotional. When there is a close encounter with your lover. And what I like about it is that you open your Bible, you get on your knees, and you begin to communicate, you begin to know who your lover is and what your lover can do. What happens is it changes you when you're in your private area with your lover. And I know that because anybody that's in love, I can look at you and tell publicly when it comes to a public that is something about you change. It tells me there's a new lover in your life. I'm talking about God. Help me, somebody. Whenever you're in love privately, when you come out publicly, it shows the expression upon your face. There's a glow about you. Help me, somebody. And now I can really tell you this, is that when your relationship, now I'm not talking about God, I'm talking personal now, that when it gets better, there's an expression, there's an outward look change. Help me, somebody. Now let's go back to God. When you get closer to God and you go out in public, there's something about he expresses his love on you now. In public, he expresses his love for you. See, it's good to have a lover that you in love with. But when he shows you he's in love with you, oh, God, have mercy. I don't want to only be the one that's in love. Help me, somebody. If it's going to be really right, there's got to be a love coming from you and a love coming from the other. Help me, somebody. I've found out is that God has always been in love with us. And I know that he's in love with us because of the things that he do for us and the way we carry ourselves. But when we express that we are in love with him, we get intimate with him. Intimacy take place. It means a closeness come. It means the feeling that means he touched me and I touch him. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Watch this. Now, what I mean by that is that when he touches you and you touch him, is that in private when you're reading your Bible and you're praying, you feel God's touch. You feel God's presence. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You feel God's presence. My mic. You feel God's presence. And when you feel God's presence, what happens is you begin to touch Him. When you touch Him, can I tell you something? The more He touch you, God have mercy. Come on. See, that's how it is when that phone rings. You can't get to that phone when you're in an intimacy moment with God, with your lover. You can't stop to answer the phone. No, baby. Because listen, when you're in love, that's the feeling that you don't want to lose. When the anointing is on your life, that is a feeling that you do not want to deteriorate. I don't want to lose it. I want to keep it. In fact, you don't want to talk to nobody. You don't want to leave the house. You want to stay right where you are. God, don't take your anointing away. And so what happens now that your lover has expressed his love for you, you go out in public, and when I see you, there's something about you that's different. You did not change your clothes. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You didn't do that. You did not change the way you put on your makeup. No, you didn't do that. Because you've always covered up what's really going on. But this time, there's something different about you. And I found out the difference is that my lover has made me realize that he's in love with me. God have mercy. Watch it. It's not that your lover don't love you. But what has happened, there's a realization that has come in your life that you realize that God does love you. It's good to know that God does love me. And what happened is because of our guilt, we have felt that God does not care, or that God is so angry at us that God has left us where we are. But I got news for you. God has never left you by yourself. He has never forsaken you. God has never given up on you. God has always been there the whole time. It was you yourself that thought he had fell out of love with you. Can I tell you something? God never changes. He's always been God, and he'll always be God. Just because you feel void sometimes don't mean he changed. He's still God. So when I look at the scene, I went and I wanted to look at the scene about love, because I think that it's important that we understand the real meaning of love. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let's begin to look at verse 1. I want to tell you something that many of us say that I love God. Now listen, if you love God, you have to love the brethren. If you love God, you have to love me. Listen, I don't like that. You have to love me. In order to be a child of God, in order to get your... You have to love me. Rather, you don't like my shoes. You don't like the way I administer. You don't like the way I... You still are obligated to love me because it is a command by God. And the truth of the matter is, I also have to love you who don't love me. Because it is a command by God. You have to love the one that mistreated you. You have to love that dogged you out. You have to love the one that cuts you out. You have to love the one that rolled their eyes at you. You have to love them. God, have mercy, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to know. You know how you're going to do it? You're going to do it if you want to get blessed. You're going to do it if you want God to keep on taking care of you. You're going to love. Watch this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 and 6. Watch this. Church, read it with me. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sound brass or as a... I don't care how influent you are. I don't care how eloquent you are. I don't care how much you can sing. I don't care about how good your words come out of your mouth. If there is no love in you. I didn't say it. God said you just as what? As a sound breath. You ain't nothing coming out your mouth. Ain't nothing right about you. You ain't got no love in you. You're just faking, baby. The reason why you can talk like you talk is because it's a gift. Y'all don't hear me. God don't take his gift away. Y'all don't hear me? So what happens is, I don't care how smooth your words are. I don't care what it is. God said you ain't doing nothing if it ain't no love in you. God have mercy. Because what happens is, you may have gold on, but if the gold is dull, it does not shine. Y'all don't hear me? Every now and then you got to take gold and polish it up, and gold will shine with its polish. Love shines something that's dull. Look what he said. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove my, y'all don't hear me. So you mean to tell me that if I had the faith to remove mountains and I don't have love, look what he says. He said, and have not charity, you ain't nothing. And listen, you mean to tell me that I have all the knowledge, I understand that, I have the wisdom to make things happen, but God said you ain't nothing without love? Why? He said, because he says that when it's all over, said and done, you got to stand before your maker. Y'all don't hear me. Listen, watch it. But God, but with the wisdom and the knowledge that I had, I was able to create things. God said, that's the gift that I gave you. Not much so much for you, but I gave it so somebody else can get the pleasure. But you yourself had to love the brethren. Can I talk on that? You got to love the brethren. You got to love. There are folk up in here today that really despise some things. There's folk up in here, you despise people. And I'm trying to get you to understand that the saints can never make it being wicked towards one another. You can't have a wicked heart towards each other. That's the essence of why God came to visit Noah, is because there was too much hatred, too much sin, too much wickedness, too much unholiness, too much doing your own thing, too much killing one another. God got angry. He got angry. He came and visited Noah. Go to Genesis 6. Oh, God. Say, God, don't be angry with me. So, watch this. Go to Genesis 6 and 9. Read that for me. Stop right there. Now Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generation. That's very important for us to understand, in his generation. That means here in his time, in his era of time, that Noah was a perfect man. Now you understand that the world was wicked, and that everybody was doing everything that they wanted to do, big and bad enough to do. But Noah was perfect in his time, in his era. It means here that Noah stood out. Oh, God. Everybody else wanted to do what they wanted to do. But Noah said, no, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God says. He said, in spite of everybody shedding blood, in spite of them living the way they wanted to live, folk were angry, they were wicked in all their ways, Noah said, I am still going to serve God. Noah had decided that he was going to do what God said by what was in his heart. The Spirit of God told him that, Noah, that's not the right thing to do. Other men also have that same spirit telling them that's not the right way to live. But what men did is they ignored what God was telling them in their conscience, but not Noah. Noah said, I'm going to obey God in spite of what is going on around me. Can I tell you something? In spite of who hate me, who spider can't stand me, who spider want to destroy me, I'm still going to obey God. When the text said that he walked with God, it means that he obeyed what God wanted him to do. Yeah. And so when we look at it, that you obey, that what God wants you to do, the Bible wants us to know something here, is that by Noah obeying what God wanted him to do, God was speaking to him in his conscience. And in his conscience, the conscience, everybody in here have a conscience. Your conscience tells you what's right and wrong. There's something about it. You know when you're not supposed to go that way. You know when it ain't the right thing to do. But we try to fight against it and hoping that it's a change, but it won't change because God sticks with his word. And so what happened is Noah decided that he was going to follow what God was telling him. Can I tell you something? That each and every last one of us, whenever we decide to do something, there's always a right and a wrong way. And it always talks to us. Y'all don't hear me. God always talks to us. That spirit come in your conscience and it lets you know, don't you say that. And whenever something rise up against you and it tries to get your mind and cause you to be angry, it always say, I'm going to get them told. Good God. Then some say, just shut up, just walk away. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then all they do is they keep coming at you, and they keep coming at you. And God say, don't you do it. And some say, girl, this your opportunity to shut her up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got one more time to keep on doing what you're doing. Now, God, you know my heart. I'm trying to let no God is saying, I told you to shut up. And vengeance is mine. Y'all don't hear me. But God, they keep on pushing on me. God saying, turn the other way and let them push you again. If they slap you on one side, let them slap you on the other side. Because I'm about to open the door in your life. And when I open your door, baby, their door is going to be shut. God will have the last laugh, and God will have the last say. So you just need to shut up and let God have his way. I know I'm talking to somebody here. Watch this.
Listen, look what he say. Look what he say. In the text, he said, and Noah walk with God.
Oh, God. God wants you to walk with him. Now watch this. Noah had God on the inside. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3, 1. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and 1. Watch this.
Watch this. See, this is important that we understand. This is that we understand this thing here. Is that, see, Noah has set his mind on just doing what God said. No, Noah didn't have his mind on obeying man. God saw righteous in Noah. When he looked and he saw everything that they were doing, he said, but I see Noah. Watch this thing. Colossians chapter 3, 1. They say, if ye then be what? With Christ. I'm talking to those that are supposed to be believers. Seek those things which are what? If you're going to be righteous, watch this. You have to do what God said. You have to look for heavenly things. Righteousness is of God. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Can I give you a help on that? Christ, it says, if you be risen with me, can I tell you something? I'm sitting right by my Father. Y'all don't hear me. He says, seek those things which is above. Now watch this. Seeking those things which are above means that God said, when it comes up, my son, if you're risen with him, is sitting by. I don't want to talk to you unless I talk to you through my son. Oh, y'all don't hear me. If I'm risen with Christ, and he said, stay right here, I'll be right back. He said, I'm going to sit by my Father. And whenever you want to talk to my Father, the best thing, you got a connection. You got something good going for you. If you just send it to me because you risen with me, you are my brother. You are my child. I'm your Lord. I'm your Savior. I'm your Father. I'm your friend. I'm your food. I'm your shelter. If there's anything you need from your supplier, come to me. And because I sit by God, God gives everything, but you got connection to God through me. Oh, God, y'all don't hear me.
So what happens? What happens here? What Christ here is saying to us, that if you be risen with Christ, God have mercy, seek those things from up above. He said, listen, don't worry about earthly things. He said, because heaven will release blessings on earth. And he said, if you seek it from me, he said, I sit right by my, I'm by my Father. You got straight connection to the Holy of Holiness. You got a straight interest. You ain't got to go through nobody else. Ain't got to go through my job. Ain't got to go through my family. Ain't got to go through the bank. Ain't got to prove nothing by education. I can go straight to him through the one that's close to him. Oh God, watch this, watch. Look what he said. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. He said, fall in love with the heavenly blessings. Fall in love with it. Watch this, watch this. He says, for you are dead and your life is hid with in God. Y'all don't hear me. You are dead. Now watch this. So your life is hid. Watch this. Your life is hid with Christ. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Watch this. With Christ in God. Now watch what he said. He said, I'm going and I'm sitting right by my Father. He said, now can I really tell you the real deal? He said, I wish you can see that your life is hid in me. God have mercy. If your life is hid in me and I'm sitting right by God, can I tell you, you're next to God? And listen, if I was to really get more spiritual with it, is that if you are hid in Christ, watch this, the truth of the matter is that Christ is hid in God. Oh my God. The thing is that because it's so much of a connection, he says, if you set your affection on things above where I am, watch this, it means that not only am I there, oh my God, if my love, if my heart and my mind is set on the things that are is above, which is in Christ, wherever Christ is, I am. Wherever Christ is, God is. Y'all don't hear me. Christ, God, and myself are together. That's what he wants you to understand. Why? Because he is a spirit and you are worshiping him in spirit. So while you're in the spirit, you are also in heaven with Christ and God. Oh, God, watch this. Right, watch this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. I just want to say this, is that wherever he goes, I'll be with him in glory. Why? Because he's everywhere at the same time. I want to go back and I want to look at this thing here. I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and 5. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and 5. Watch, when God calls Noah, he tells Noah, he said, Noah, I'm going to destroy everything. He said, because a man's heart is wicked. He said, they're deceiving. They're up to no good. So I'm going to destroy everything. He said, but with you, he said, I'm going to make my covenant. He says here, build an ark. He said, build an ark. So he builds the ark. And so after he builds, while he's building the ark, I want you to understand this thing. Watch this. And verse 5, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, look what it. And spared not the whole world, but save who? The eighth person. Watch this. A preacher of righteousness. That's where I want to stop before I go into far. He spared not the old world. So watch this. So here comes Jesus Christ and the Lord, the Father, the Holy Spirit. He takes Noah and he said, build the ark. While he was building the ark, it did not take him a couple of days. The text tells you here that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It means that while he was building the ark, he was also preaching the word of God. The preacher of righteousness was telling him that you're going to have to repent and change your ways. God, y'all don't hear me. Noah was only speaking of what God gave to him and what he had already known to be, and that is to be righteous. Every day in your life, when you tell somebody that God don't like that, you are telling them the righteous way. God have mercy. Because you know that the day is coming where we shall fly away from here. Y'all don't hear me. Noah was trying to tell them, the preacher of righteousness, is that you cannot continue to live any way you want to live, because the day is coming is that God is going to destroy everything. So while this preacher of righteousness was preaching, look what it said. The Bible said, bringing in the flood upon the world and the ungodly. So look what happens. That God sends in. He sends Noah to build the ark. Here is Noah. Noah is delivering the word of God. Noah is telling him that you have to stop your living in church. I want you to understand something, that if we're going to be blessed, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to go to heaven, you are going to have to change your living. You cannot live any kind of way and still continue to think God is going to bless you. The reason why God is blessing us in our mess is because he's giving us an opportunity to change our ways. Y'all don't hear me. He's showing his mercy to us. So look what he does. He takes Noah here now. Noah is building up this ark. Noah is trying to warn the people that you've got to change. You've got to change. You have to change. Now is the time to change. Can I tell you something? That warning always comes before destruction. Pride comes before destruction. A hardened spirit comes before you fall. Can I tell you something? God is giving us a warning now. Fix it. Or else lose it. Y'all don't hear me. There's some things in your life, my life, we gotta fix now. Because I don't want to fall. I don't want to lose. I've got to change now. Can I tell you something? He said, fix it now. He said, I'm warning you before destruction. I wish everybody can hear that. Warning comes before destruction. Everybody in here, God has given us warning. He has given us an opportunity. Look, you know that ain't the way. You better fix it, because destruction may come. Fix it while you can. Change while you can. It ain't too late to change. You still can change. Whatever it is, stop it and get it right. Y'all don't hear me. Some people say, I can't stop. You have to change. You cannot take a chance of not stopping now, because you don't know if the Lord may call you home tonight. You can't wait till tomorrow to fix it. Fix it now. Oh, I know I'm talking right. Because you've come too far to turn around now. You've already came from a low degree. I'm trying to get higher now. Why start all over again? Why lose everything that you got? Can I tell you, right now is the warning. You're warned. You're put on notice. You've got your paper. You've got the summons that you're going to have to appear in court. But if you get all your documents together, everything gonna be in right. So y'all don't hear me. I'm getting my house in order. I'm getting all my paperwork right. I'm making some changes now. I've got some polish out. I'm dusting out the wood. I've washed my tie. Y'all don't hear me. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. That's why some of y'all can't take communion, because you ain't got your warning papers right. That's why some of y'all overlook it. You said, I can't take communion, then baby, but what if you die today? Can I tell you, I can take communion every day if I want to. I can take it in the morning and I can take it in the evening. Can I tell you something? Ain't no shame in my game, baby. All of us have slipped and fall and made some mistakes. But after a while, baby, you got to get tired of slipping. You got to get tired of scraping your knees. After a while, you got to get tired of jumping over the other fence. It's time to stop now. You've got your warning papers. I know some of y'all. No, I know some of y'all. Y'all don't want to hear. Y'all don't want to hear. Listen, ain't no reason not to want to hear. Ain't no time for fake farming and fashion. Baby, it's time to get things right. Because I want to go to heaven. Because I don't want you to bring my body up in here. And I don't need nobody lying over me. If I was a trunker, then say I was a trunker. If I was a liar, say I was a liar. But if I'm saved, sanctified, and set aside for the work of God, let my life speak for me. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I'm tired of having funerals. And every time I go to a funeral, I hear one thing from another before the funeral. But when I get there, I hear everybody, that was a good man, that was a good woman. I say, I'm confused. I'm hearing too many stories. That's why I don't never preach about the person. I preach about Jesus and him crucified. Can I get a witness here? Watch this. I know somebody don't like it. I know somebody don't. That's all right. But watch this. It's so important. Oh, God. Yeah. He did not preach directly that God knew they was going to change. He preached to have it in the scripture. Watch this. To let us know how merciful he is. God have mercy. Prior to him preaching, God had already told him, I see the wickedness of everybody in the land.
Y'all don't hear me.
But I want you to preach anyway, because I want them at regular Baptist church on this day to know that I'm giving them a warning.
God have mercy.
Ah!
God, watch this.
He said, I already know what I'm going to do, but they need to know if they take heed to the warning.
Y'all don't hear me.
Because today is the day to get sanctified. Today is the day for everybody in your household to give your hand to the Lord. Listen, just because the game is coming on, don't mean you got to get drunkified. Just because the game is coming on, don't mean you got to be crucified. Just because the game is coming on, don't mean you got to be horsified. I come today to tell you we need to be sanctified. Whether we watching the game or not. Oh, I wish I had some believers here. I wish we just put the game up in here and let everybody, I promise you, a whole lot of folks, I can't come there to watch the game, baby. Because you know they do have bread. I mean real bread and real cup with just a little punch in it. But baby, this cup ain't the cup I'm going to drink. You can't even say him throwing the ball anyway if you get too much of that other mess in you. But I promise you that the real saints know how to have a good time whenever they do whatever. It don't matter whatever you do. When the saints get together, we can have a time. But can I tell you something? We can turn that hall to anything holy that we wanted to. We can have a good time in the Lord. Can I tell you something? I don't need a clubhouse to get my groove on, baby. I can dance in the Lord anyway I want to. God have mercy. Truth of the matter is, trace your heritage. We all danced like we've always danced like this. It's just a different era of time. Y'all don't hear me. But when God get a hold to you, you ought to dance, baby. Some of y'all that can't dance, he'll give you a move like never before. They say, girl, you cut that step. You know why I cut that step? Because I thought about how good he's been to me. You know why that step came up on me? Because he brought me from a mighty long way. And baby, I was dancing all by myself. I didn't need a partner to dance. I didn't need to ask nobody to dance. But I cut it up because God cut some things out of my life. He spared my life. He made a way out of no way. Oh, watch this. I gotta go. So watch this. I want you. Watch this. He takes Noah. And he said, Noah, this is what I'm gonna do for you. He says, you have built the ark now.
He said, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to open the door. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, because I'm tired. I'm at a tired point now. He says, now I'm still God. He said, the door that I'm opening is the door for your life. Mm. He said, watch this. I'm going to open this door, and I want you to take all of the animals two by two up inside of there. He, they go in inside the ark. And he said, watch this. He said, Noah, you go in the ark. He said, now watch this. I want you to take Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives and your wives, and all of the animals in this ark. Can I tell you something? That the ark that he built was like an aircraft carrier of the Navy. You understand that? It was just that big. And when he built the ark, the Bible said that he had to put all of these animals in here. Now, statistics tells us, as you study, that it was anywhere from 2,000 to almost 0.5 million animals on the ark. Y'all don't hear me? So now, while they was on the ark, this is what God said. God said, because I found righteousness in you. He didn't say, I found righteousness in Ham. I didn't find righteousness in the wise. I didn't find righteousness in Shem and Japheth. He said, but what happens? He says, anything that's connected to you. I wish I had some believers here. I wish I had some believers that whatever is connected to you can go in the door. Oh God, you don't hear me. He said, now watch this. He says that I'm going to give you the animals also to go in with you. Can I tell you something? That when God opened the door, can I tell you, who's ever connected to me better stay connected. Y'all don't hear me. Because God is going open a door for me on the ark. And the ark that God is opening is my safety house. Oh God, have mercy. You don't hear me. That's my safe house. Now, I want you to understand is that when they begin to go in the ark, he shut the door. God, why don't you shut the door? He said, because this door is for you and who's ever connected with you. He didn't open the door for Shem. He didn't open the door for his kids. He didn't open the door for his wives. But he opened the door for Noah. Y'all don't hear me. You got in the door because who you was connected to. Oh God, I wish I had some believers here. You got in the door because you was righteous. But whoever you brought along with you, if it looked Mike, look Jimmy, Trey, Ray, all y'all, come on, all, ain't none of y'all no good. You're still lying. You're still cheating, you steal everything, but you got a connection with the one that's connected to the door is open for. And so all your liars, come on with me. All you no good folk, come on. I ain't lying, it's in the text. Watch this. So they came on with him. Watch this. I know some of y'all confused. You'll understand it better in a few more minutes. So they was all on the ship with him. While he was on the ship, the Bible says that was the first door that he opened. But it started to rain. Heaven poured out water. The earth gave water. And while he was there on the ship, can I tell you something? The ship got to rocking. But when he released the water, he also released the death angel. God, y'all don't hear me. The death angel was also released. And what God said, I'm going to cover the ark. I'm going to be the ark. You come inside of me. You don't hear me. Because when you come inside of me, you're going to be with me and I'm going to be with God. Y'all don't hear me. The ark is God. Y'all don't hear me. So when you come inside of me, the ark is your protection from the death angel. I wish I had some believers here, because the death angel is the only one that can kill anybody, but it has to be released from God. Can I talk a little bit here? So while the death angels was released, some of them dies. Some of the giraffes died. Not all of them, because two of them were still on the ark. The hippos died. The elephants died. The snakes died. Y'all don't hear me. Because they said not only man gonna die, but everything that creeping and have life on the face of the earth is going to die. But I thank God that I had giraffes on the ark. He had elephants on the ark. He had lions and tigers on the ark. Can I go a little farther for you? He had man and woman on the ark. And Jesus said, I am your ark. Anyone that's in the ark gonna be saved. When the deaf angel got loose, the deaf angel started going around the world, killing anything that was in the world. But when the deaf angel saw the ark, the deaf angel had to go around the ark, because anything in Jesus, the deaf angel don't have permission to touch nothing unless it comes from the Lord. The Bible said while they was on the ark, watch this, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. After 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord said, I'm about to open up another door. Noah said, Lord, how are you going to open the door? He said, I'm going to stop the rain. When the rain stops, that was another door. Now don't hear me. Because the rain that was coming down drowned everything. But when God stopped the rain, that was one door. That was the second door that God has opened in Noah's life. The Bible said that's after 40 days and 40 nights. But they stayed on the ark. You got to stay with the Lord and wait till the Lord open up the next door. You don't hear me? They stayed on the ark. The Bible says 40 days had gone, but up to another 110 days, which means 150 days, still on the ark. Can I tell you something? That while they were still on the ark, after the flood had stopped, after the rain had come down, that God made provision for them to live on the ark. Can I tell you something? That while your doors are being opened, while you hope and have faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, while you're waiting for your next door, give God some praises for the provision that he's making for you while you're waiting. I wish I had some believers there. While I'm waiting for my job to come through, he's making provisions for me. While I'm waiting for my check, he's making a way out of no way. While I'm waiting for the loan, he's still making provisions. Am I right about it? Some of us in here now waiting for a change to come, but my Bible tells me he's making provisions day by day and night by night. It ain't gonna kill you that you don't have it. The reason why I know, because you made it this morning. It ain't gonna kill you that you don't have your loan paid. They'll be alright when you get it. They'll get it. But hold on to God's unchanging hands. Can I tell you something? That after 150 days, God opened up another door. He looked out the window and the water started going down. But it wasn't all the way down. But that's a door in your life. He opened the ark. He closed the door. He stopped the rain. And now he's making it go down. But while it's going down, I still see the Lord working things out in my life. You ought to tell somebody it's getting better. It ain't got there yet, but it's getting better. I feel something in the atmosphere. My change is about to come. I ain't totally got my change yet, but I'm holding on to God's changing hands. Get it running here. Thank God for provision. Look what the Lord says when it starts going down. He says, I'm open another door. You say, how you gonna do it? Open up the windows and send out a raven. The raven went out. The Bible says, and nothing came back. So what he did, he waited a little while. The raven came back, but it didn't have nothing. He said, I gotta keep on holding on. The Lord is still a good God. The Lord is still a way maker. The Lord is still a heart fixer. Get out of here, just waiting on the Lord. Can I tell you something? It's in the Lord's hands. When the Lord do it, he'll do it. But until then, I'ma stay in the ark. Cause in the ark, I still got safety. In the ark, I still have provision. In the ark, I'm satisfied. In the ark, he's still my helper. In the ark, he's still my keeper. Can I tell you how good he is? He kept my son. Call him. He kept my son. Call Jesus. He kept my son. In the all right. He kept all the wives. He spared the life of the animals that's with me. But can I really tell you something? He made a way for me. In spite of my no good self, he saw something out of my black heart. He saw white spots and said, I'm righteous. Is it anybody here? No, the Lord is good. He chose you in spite of it all. He called your name in spite of it all. After a while, he sends another dove. The dove goes off. He waits a while. They say, what you waiting on? The Lord to send the dove back. 1 day pass. 2 day pass. Can I tell you something? While you're waiting, you ought to start praising God. Somebody say, why? Because the Lord is about to open up your next door. Door after door. It may take some days, but door after door. On the 7th day, the dove came back, had a little leaf in his mouth. The Bible says he opened the door, but they stayed still on the ark. You want to know why? Because he saw water still in the land. But the leaf gave me some hope. The leaf let me know it's all right. The leaf told me to stay there. The leaf said it's life after death. The leaf said it's fixing it. Can I tell you what he was doing? He was growing trees while he was on the ark. Growing grass while he was on the ark. The Lord says, I'm going to fix everything. That when you get off the ark, you won't see water. You won't see grass. You won't see trees. Won't the Lord fix it? You got to hold on. He's fixing the land. Hold on. He's putting it in place. Hold on. He's straightening things out. Get everybody here. Though the Lord is fixing it. He's opened the door. Say yes. Ain't the Lord good? Say yes. Ain't the Lord all right? Say yes. Ain't the Lord fixing it? Yes. He's got it under control. He sent another dove, and the dove didn't return. But God opened a window. After 1 whole year, he had been living in the ark. And God said, could you stand fast on me? Could you stand on on my word. Because you stepped out on faith. I'm about to open the door. But when you open the door, it's not going to be muddy. He opened the door. When he opened the door, they called me and asked me, can I come pick up my new car? When he opened the door, they said, can you come sign your place for your house? When they opened the door, the doctor says, the second test we took showed the cancer was gone. When he opened the door, the doctor said, it looks like a miracle. I don't know if we made a mistake, but the test results no longer say positive. It said negative. Won't the Lord open doors in your life? Get it out of here. Open the Lord. Fresh opportunity. But can I tell you something? Man is still wicked. Man still gonna sin. But I'm gonna make a covenant. Because you obeyed God, I'm gonna shed my blood and cover up their sins. I won't destroy it, but I'll bless them. Get anybody here. Thank God for mercy. He opened the door. Instead of taking my life, he had mercy on my life. Get anybody here. Know what mercy will do. It saved you. It fixed you. It made a way out of no way. Anybody know mercy? Lord, have mercy on my soul. Lord, have mercy on my family. Lord, have mercy in the hospital. Lord, have mercy. Won't he do it? Is he all right?
The other day, my Pastor Hope came in out of Killeen, Texas. I wrote a book about fear. He sat up there in the basement of a house. A son and a father was moving furniture to place in the basement of the house. He said the father was down below and the son was on top, pushing the furniture down. He said, I don't know where the lights went off. And the son became fearful. And the father that was down there said, son, you know that I love you, don't you? He said, yes, daddy, I know that you love me. He said, but if you take one step up, you're going to fall. But when you fall, I'm going to catch you. Y'all don't hear me. He said, but daddy, I don't see you. He said, son, do you believe that I love you? He said, yes, daddy, I believe that you love me. He said, but son, trust me. My love for you will catch you. He said, it's not that you can see me, but it's that I can see you. God, I need some believers in here. He said that if you believe that I love you, if you trust me, you don't have to see me. Just believe that I see you. And if you step out on faith, I catch you. Oh, I wish I had some believers here that would just throw their arms into the Lord. I wish I had some believers that just said, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. Catch me, Lord. Here I am. I wish I had some sellouts to say, Lord, catch me. Catch me.
catch my mind, God. Catch my heart, God. I can't go nowhere else. No, nobody else don't love me like you. But Lord, here I am. I'm exhausted. God said, throw yourself over and watch I catch you. Can I tell you something? He has already proved he'll catch us. Because he opened the door for us so many times. Folks shut doors in your life. But God keeps on opening doors. And he said, look towards the hills from which cometh your help. All of my help cometh from the Lord. Come on, give God some praise. Come on. He says, I got you, I got you. I got you, I got you, I got you. He said, I'm going to fix it, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to turn your life around. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. He said, but you have to have the hope to believe. And just wait. He said, I've already opened doors in your life. He said, but I'm going to open some more doors in your life. He said, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, the door that you went through was the entrance to the next door you're about to go in. And every time you go to a door, baby, put an exit sign on it. Because I ain't going back there. I'm going to bigger and better things. Can I tell you that if you connected to the Lord, he's going to sail on with you. And nothing can hurt you when you're wrapped up in Jesus. The doors of the church is open. There may be one in here right now that's looking for a right now that wants to come by your Christian experience. Can I tell you something? That God is opening doors for you. God is speaking to you. God is calling you. God is telling you, now is the opportunity to come. Will you come? This is your opportunity. Wherever you are, you say,